Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that in your word you perfectly equip us as your people to know you, to honour you, to live for you, to know what it means to experience your salvation both now and in the age to come. And how we pray that you'd be impressing these things on our hearts again tonight as we study your word together. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sons of Gondor of Rohan, my brothers, I can see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship, but it is not this day. An hour of wolves and shattered shields, when the age of men comes crashing down, but it is not this day. This day we fight. By all that hold dear to this good earth, I bid you stand, men of the West. Any ideas what film that was? How does this compare? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. We started this new series last week thinking about the spiritual battle that we as Christian believers are engaged in. And one of the things we come against with this kind of language in the Bible is to be honest, my life just doesn't feel much like an epic Lord of the Rings kind of battle. Okay? Maybe you wish it did feel a little bit more like an epic Lord of the Rings kind of battle. Okay, often my life is just quite mundane. I get up, I go to work, I come back, I go to sleep, I do it again, I come to church at the weekend, and so it kind of rumbles on. And we read a passage like this in Ephesians, and perhaps we're thinking, well, okay, but it doesn't quite feel like that's going on in my life. And yet we've seen that God warns us it is. Okay, through this passage in Ephesians, elsewhere in the Bible, yes, the reality of this world is that if you are following Jesus, you are engaged in this epic battle. And we're taking 4 weeks to think about this whole theme together. Last week, we introduced the topic by having a look at the enemy, Satan, and all the powers of darkness. We saw that they are powerful, they're scheming, they're intent on destroying God's work in us as his people and in the world. And that means that if you're a Christian, you are in the firing line in this spiritual battle. We saw that we have an enemy much stronger than us. But then, do you remember, we also saw that we have a Savior much stronger than our enemy. What wonderful news. The Lord Jesus, he came and defeated the powers of darkness and of Satan. And what we're thinking about today is this. If this spiritual battle really is a reality, if this is what reality is really is, then what must I do? If I'm following Jesus, what part do I have to play in this spiritual battle? And in this passage in Ephesians, God is wanting us to be especially clear on what his role is in this battle, and on what our role is as God's people. And that's because there's a twin danger. The first is this. The first is to think, I have to do everything. How terrifying. I'm never going to cope. And so Paul begins in verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now you don't have to do everything. The Lord is there strengthening you. But the other danger is to think that, therefore, I don't have to do anything. The Lord's going to do it all. I can just carry on life as normal. And that's why Paul carries on with verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There's something we have to do. Put on the full armour of God. And as we examine this armour of God together now, we're going to see God's role in how we stand in this spiritual battle, and our role. So let's start first, and they're kind of roughly our two headings. Let's start with God's role. And God's role is this. God supplies the full armour we need to stand firm. That's God's part. God supplies the full armour we need to stand firm. And you see how it's all listed there from verse 14. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And it's one of Paul's, the Apostle Paul's, most memorable illustrations of the Christian life. But it was probably one of these easier ones to come across, because when he was writing Ephesians, he was chained to a Roman soldier in prison. So you can imagine him just kind of, oh yeah, there it is. There's the helmet and there's the breastplate. And I should make a really great illustration. So off he goes in Ephesians 6. And as he lists the bits of Roman kit, of course, the whole purpose of them was protection. A Roman soldier would be mad to go into battle without it. And so the Apostle Paul now says to us, just as a Roman soldier was provided with physical protection for a physical battle, well, so the Christian believer is provided with spiritual protection for a spiritual battle. And Paul is very keen to emphasize that it is God who supplies us with this armor. He supplies the full armor we need to stand firm. And that's why, do you see verse 11? He says, put on the full armor of God. It's so clear, isn't it? And again in verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Whose armor is it? God's armor, the armor of God. He gives us everything we need. And as we look at this armour now, did you spot the purpose of this armour that God supplies us with? Or if you like, why do we need it at all? Do you see verse 11? Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And verse 13, therefore put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And again, verse 14, stand firm. He couldn't be clearer, could he? This armour is so that you might stand firm. We've seen that Satan and the powers of darkness, they are the aggressor. They're the ones who are attacking, if you like. And our role is not to win the battle. Wonderfully, Jesus has done that for us. Our role is simply to stand firm in the middle of the battle. And that's why God gives us this armor, so that we might do that. And that's why the armor is almost entirely defensive. You see that with the shield of faith and the flaming arrows. They come from the evil one. We just put up the shield. It's defensive. It's protection, so that we might stand firm. And it's clear that there will be some times in life that we particularly need this armor. Did you see that in verse 13? Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Talking there about some times in life, or perhaps seasons of your life, where as a Christian believer, you are under particular attack from Satan and the powers of darkness. That might look like a time of really strong temptation. You know, perhaps it's post-exams, and everyone's out doing whatever they're doing post-exams. Time of particular temptation. Perhaps it's that new colleague at work and she takes a shining to you and you know that it's going to be a disaster, but it's just a time of particular strong temptation. Could be a time of unusual hardship. So Job, that Old Testament book, this is Satan's attack on him, a time of huge suffering, a day of evil. For us, it might be death or redundancy or rejection or illness, a day of evil in our lives. It might be a time of unusual persecution, and brothers and sisters across the world, you know, they are facing, literally having their lives taken for following Jesus, a day of evil. But wonderfully, even in such evil days, this armor can help you to stand firm. It's everything you need, even in days like that, to stand firm. So that's the purpose. That's why we need it, to stand firm. But I wonder if you noticed also what the makeup of this armor is, or what it is. Have a look again from verse 14. See if you can spot some kind of common themes as we go through. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, next week, we're going to unpack each piece of armor in a bit more detail and think practically about what it means for us. But today, I want us to get something of the overview of the whole thing. And did you notice how, although there are lots of different pieces of armor, they are all united around exactly the same thing? The gospel, or the good news about Jesus. Okay, so just work through them with me. You've got truth, the belt of truth. Of course, that is what the gospel is, the truth about God and about Jesus. You've got righteousness, wonderfully what Jesus gives us as we trust in him, what he asks of us as we follow him. The gospel of peace. That word gospel is in there, the good news that brings peace between us and God, with us and other people. Faith, well, that's the way that you receive the gospel, as you trust in Jesus. And then you've got the helmet of salvation. That's where the gospel takes us, to this wonderful new world. And the word of God, well, that is where we are told everything about the gospel. Do you see the point? Lots of pieces of armor, but it's all the same thing. Different aspects of the same thing, which is the gospel, the good news about Jesus and everything that he's done. And actually, if you just flick back to Ephesians 1, then we can see this really clearly. Ephesians 1, right at the start of the letter, Paul is telling these Christians how wonderful it is to be a Christian believer. And in verse 13, he tells them how they became a Christian believer. And just have a look at verse 13. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, that's just a single verse describing how they became Christians. But did you notice every single piece of gospel armor is in that verse, apart from one? So you've got the truth there. Okay, righteousness, that's not explicitly mentioned, but it's in the rest of chapter 1. You've got the gospel mentioned in that verse. Having believed, that's the same word as faith. Talks about salvation. And then the word of truth. Do you see? It's just the gospel. How you become a Christian actually is the full protection you need as you go on as a Christian as well. One of the great things about James Bond, particularly the older James Bonds, is the ridiculous gadgets. Okay, it's a bit of a shame. I think they've tried to go a bit too suave recently, and some of the more ridiculous gadgets have been phased out. But do you remember the kind of spike umbrella? Remember that one? Or the bagpipe flamethrower? You know, you never know when that's going to come in handy. Or the kind of low point was the car invisibility cloak. Do you remember that one? Well, here's a question. What advanced spiritual gadgets and tricks does the Christian require in this spiritual battle? Okay, what advanced classes do you need to go to in spiritual warfare to stand firm in this battle? Answer, none. Okay, everything you need is in the gospel about Jesus. Okay, everything you need to stand firm against all the powers of hell is right there in the good news about Jesus Christ. Okay, so don't be fooled. The good news about Jesus might not look flash, it might not look fancy, but it is incredibly powerful. Powerful enough to save you from hell for heaven. Powerful enough to protect you all the way until that day. You see, at St. Mary's, we don't need a church exorcist or a demonologist to help us in this spiritual battle. We need the gospel about Jesus, the good news. We need to understand it more and more clearly so that we might stand firm. I remember one occasion when I went on holiday with my parents. We went to Italy, and one of the trips we did, me, my brother, and my dad, we were about 11 or 12, I think, let's say. We went up a cable car with mountain bikes. And the idea is you go up the cable car, and then you mountain bike down. Okay, simple idea. We were in this cable car. We had our little rucksacks with our packed lunch and trainers and shorts and all the rest of it. And then these Italian guys came in, and they were wearing what can only be described as kind of full body armor. Okay, they had the elbow pads and knee pads. They had chest plates. And we were just kind of looking at each other thinking, what is at the top of this cable car? And what are we letting ourselves in for? Now, we got to the top, and it was a complete disaster. We had to kind of walk our bikes down most of it. We were hopelessly ill-equipped for what lay ahead. Now, wonderfully, the Christian can never say that about this spiritual battle that we're engaged in. In the gospel, God has given us everything we need to stand firm. That's God's part. God supplies the full armor we need to stand firm. It's the gospel. Here's the second part, though, which is our part, and it's this. We must put the armor on. We must put the armor on. That's our part in this. I don't know what you think of when you think of armor. For me, my mind kind of goes to Windsor Castle in some kind of corner where there's this kind of suit of armor gathering dust. But of course, the whole point of armor was for a soldier to wear it. Okay, and if they didn't wear it, they only had themselves to blame when they came a cropper in the battle. It's like when you go paintballing, if you've ever been paintballing. What do they give you? They give you the mask. Okay, and they tell you about 100 times, you've got to keep the mask on at all times. If you take it off, then don't blame us if your eye gets replaced by a paintball. Okay, we give you the mask. Your job is to put it on and keep it on. Okay, Paul is saying exactly the same thing about our spiritual armor. God supplies the armor. Our job is to put it on and to keep it on. And you see that verse 11 and verse 13 again. Put on the full armor of God. And verse 13, therefore put on the full armor. And as you kind of work through the different bits, they're all kind of active verbs telling us what we must do in relation to each piece. So the question is, what does that actually look like? If I've got to put this armor on, this gospel armor, if I've got to put it on, what does that actually look like in my life? Well, if the armor is this good news about Jesus, as we've been saying, then putting it on is actively applying it to my life. Okay? It's that simple. Okay? You know the gospel. To put it on, you have to actively apply it to your actual life. Okay, and we could actually go further. You might say, to be fully prepared, you have to apply the whole gospel. That's why Paul gives all these different aspects of it. The whole gospel to your whole life. Every aspect of the gospel to every aspect of your life. And as you do that, you'll be able to stand firm. Now this is absolutely crucial for us to understand. You see, it's really easy for the gospel to end up a bit like an old polished suit of armor in the back of our head somewhere. Okay, so we know the gospel, and perhaps this is true for you, you're not yet a Christian, and you grew up in a Christian home, and you know all about Jesus. You know what he came to do, you know kind of why he died for you, you've got some good evidence that he rose from the dead, but you know you have never actually put your trust in Jesus. Okay, you've never, if you like, accepted the gospel for yourself, and it's useless for you unless you do that. I'd encourage you, if you haven't done that, do that even tonight. But you know, even for those of us who say, I have done that, I am a Christian believer, we have a similar danger that we can know lots of truths about the gospel, but we don't actually apply them to our actual lives. You see, we have this gospel message which can perfectly protect us from Satan's schemes, but only if we put it on. You see, the truth is, this spiritual battle that we're engaged in is fought in our everyday lives. Okay, not just when we come to church on a Sunday, but in our everyday lives. Therefore, We need to learn to apply the good news about Jesus to every detail of our everyday lives. You see, we come to church and we sing songs, we learn about Jesus, we strengthen our faith, and then we head off to actual life. And you know, in actual life, I got a family member who's given me a hard time for being a Christian. And I'm just thinking, you know, it'd be a bit easier if I just toned down the Jesus stuff. In actual life, I've got a marriage that is struggling because of the pressure I'm under. And I've got a voice in my head saying, look, just call it a day. It's not worth it. In actual life, I've got an employer who is a terrifyingly strong atheist. And I'm just nervous about saying anything about Jesus at all. In real life, I've got schoolmates who are sleeping with whoever and drinking whatever whenever they like. And it kind of looks like I'm missing out. In real life, I wake up in the morning and I think, I don't even know if I can do another day. Life is so mundane, there is nothing worth living for. In real life, I'm drawn away from church by that hobby or that person. In real life, I get hurt and I get let down and I get angry and the anger bubbles up. You know, in real life, I mess up as a Christian and I feel so guilty that I think, well, maybe I've totally blown it this time. That is real life. That is where the spiritual battle is occurring, and that is where we need to learn to put the armor on, to apply the gospel to every area of my actual life. You see, just knowing the gospel is no good at all. I have to actually then put it on, apply it to the real details of my real life. Now, next week, as I say, we're going to go through each piece of armor quite carefully, thinking about what it actually is and what it actually means. But let me just give you a little taster of it now as we think about a couple of those scenarios and think about how you might actually apply this full armor of God to some of those situations. So let's take the my mates are drinking whatever and sleeping with whoever situation. Okay. We have to learn to put the gospel truth, apply it into that situation if we're going to put this armor on. So we strap on the belt of truth. And the lie that I'm being told is that my mates are having a brilliant time, it's totally harmless, and it's a lot of fun. And so I need the gospel truth that actually it is hugely damaging sleeping with whoever and drinking whatever. And it doesn't bring lasting joy. And actually, a relationship with Christ really does bring lasting joy. And so I strap on the belt of truth. Well, I need the breastplate of righteousness as well, as I remember that as a follower of Jesus, God sees me as perfect. And he now calls me to live as his child. Would Jesus behave like my friends? Well, if he wouldn't, then I mustn't either. I need to put the readiness of the gospel of peace on. And remember that if I stand out, I may have opportunity to speak about why I'm being different. So I can be ready. And if I'm not standing out, then well, how can I be ready to share this gospel of peace with others? I need the shield of faith. You know, we say, well, I know that what God says about drink and about sex, but you know, it just doesn't feel like it's true. It feels like it surely would be better to do what they're doing. And the gospel of the shield of faith says, you know what? I'm not going to go on my feelings. I'm going to trust what God says. Jesus died for me. He knows what's best for me. And so we take the shield of faith in that situation. We take the helmet of salvation. And you know, these guys think this is the good life as they do whatever. But as Christians, we say, they haven't got a clue. That's not the good life. Look what Jesus is calling us to. And so I stand firm with the helmet of salvation. And of course, I've got the sword of the Spirit tucked in my side as well. Perhaps it's a couple of memory verses. Do not be drunk on wine, but be full of the Holy Spirit. How much better to have God's presence with me. Or it's God's will that you should be holy, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That's 1 Thessalonians, the memory verse. Just helps you to stand firm. Do you see? It's a situation in your actual life. And the point is, the good news about Jesus gives you the protection you need to stand firm if only you would apply it to your actual life. What about I struggle to get up in the morning because life just feels so mundane? Okay, the lie is there's nothing in your life worth living for anymore. Just give up. But the gospel truth, as I buckle on the belt, says God made you. He loves you. He's got a plan for you And you need to trust him with that. It's good. Breastplate of Righteousness says, look, every day I have the opportunity to live as God's child, shining out what he is like in my attitudes. Something to get up for. That's also true with the readiness of the gospel of peace. You know, we have a wonderful message to proclaim. Isn't that worth getting out of bed for? Even if I struggle, Spirit promises to use us in our weakness. Perhaps a shield of faith. I feel discouraged. I feel hopeless. But I need not follow my feelings, but rather what God has said. Jesus died for you. He loves you. You can trust him through this difficult spell of life. The helmet of salvation. When Jesus returns, no more tears or trouble or toil. Perfect joy. And perhaps a memory verse as you take the sword of the Spirit. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. That's Psalm 42. Two random situations, but do you see the point? Okay, God has given us everything we need to stand firm as his people in the gospel. Our role is to put the gospel on, which means applying every part of the gospel to every part of my life. And friends, if we do that, well, then we'll be able to stand firm against every deceitful bit of scheming that the devil sends our way. And it means we can have great confidence that we will stand. Verse 13, as we finish. Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Let me pray. Loving God, thank you so much for telling us everything we need to know as we stand for you in this world. And Lord, help us not to be unaware of the spiritual battle that is going on. And help us, we pray, to know the gospel and to apply this gospel armor to our lives that we might stand firm as your people. Help us to encourage each other in this, that together we might stand firm. In Jesus' name, amen.